First, it's time for a monthly check-in on some of the latest news from the world of science. A new study stacks up processed foods against whole foods and finds out what they mean for weight gain. We'll learn more about the study and how it might impact the way we eat in the future. Plus, this summer marks the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, and we'll check out some really, really old beer. Anna Groves is an assistant editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Anna, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with this study. This got some attention here. Look, saying maybe not all calories are created equal. This study looked at processed foods versus whole foods. People have talked about that a long time. How did they try to tackle that issue?
Right. So a lot of studies over the past couple of decades have been looking at these processed foods and doing sort of long-term studies that correlate some of these foods with different health problems. But this new study really wanted to know if processing the foods itself had any health effects. So there's all these things that are sort of tangled up with processed foods. Like they usually have more fat, more salt, more sugar. They're usually pretty low in things like protein and fiber, things that are good for you. So this study really tried to control all of these other factors that sort of get in the way of figuring out whether the processing itself matters. So they had to do this crazy study where they gave the participants in the study very specific meals for 2 weeks straight, switched them over from a whole food diet to an ultra-processed diet, or vice versa. And they just like controlled every single thing down to the amount of carbs that was in every meal, the amount of proteins, the amount of sugars, the amount of salts. And the only thing different was how processed the meals were.
And what I love about this study, when I think about nutritional studies, I always wonder, well, how do you know what to eat when they're not there in front of you? Well, they solved that by saying, hey, if you want to be in the study, you have to go on lockdown for a month, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Apparently this is a huge problem with diet studies is because most of them just sort of ask people like, hey, what'd you eat?
Oh, nothing but kale, man.
Yeah. It's hard to remember. Maybe some people aren't honest. Maybe some people sign up to do a study, but then they're sort of cheating on the side. But yeah, these people were literally on lockdown at the National Institute of Health for a month.
Okay, so what do we learn here? We've got, you're matching up, some people got the processed stuff, some people got the whole foods, but the nutritional kind of content looks the same. What ends up happening?
So after 2 weeks of eating the super processed foods, everybody gained an average of 2.5 pounds in just 2 weeks. And when they switched to the other diet, the whole food diet, everybody on average lost 2.5 pounds. And this is regardless of what weight they started at.
Interesting. So maybe there's something about how foods are processed that makes them, I don't know, either makes us eat more of them or makes them worse for us?
Yeah, one researcher I talked to described it, this was actually kind of gross, but he described it as, it's as if the food is already digested. Like there's something about a whole food as it occurs in nature that is different from if you broke down that food into all of its component parts and then tried to put it all back together.
Now, you are a biologist by training. Looking at this study, does this change the way you would eat or the way you suggest other people would eat?
Oh, my gosh. I was so surprised at how normal the processed food diet seemed to be.
Yeah, what kind of stuff?
The researchers published their menus that they use in the study, and I was expecting it to be total junk food, but it was just like a lunch meat sandwich, maybe some chips, a bagel and cream cheese. It was Ooh. Things I eat all the time. So,
okay, so
I'm going to eat a little healthier now, I think.
Okay, so more whole foods. And by whole foods, we should say, what kind of things are we talking about?
Oh, like things from the produce section, fruits and vegetables that are fresh, things like meats that are not processed, like just steaks, chicken breasts, things that are one ingredient and are in their original form.
We're talking to Anna Gross from Discover Magazine, looking at some of the most intriguing stories in the world of science. Now, in the latest edition of Discover, you mark the 50-year anniversary this summer, I guess, of the Apollo mission, of the moon landing. This has changed science a lot over the years. You wrote an interesting piece about the role of geologists. I don't really think about that, the role of geologists in training for the moon landing.
Yeah, so the moon landing was this really cool opportunity for researchers on Earth to actually study the moon's surface in person. But the astronauts were mostly like pilots, like they didn't know anything about geology. But they went through this really extensive geology training before they went on their Apollo missions. So researchers who are based out of Arizona at the U.S. Geological Survey were actually very involved in training for the Apollo missions.
And one of the tricky things was how to pick up a rock while you're wearing a spacesuit.
Yes. Oh, yes. They practiced that a lot. They had to practice all of their gear. I mean, everything was something that nobody had ever done before, and they just went through the motions over and over again to make sure everything would go off without a hitch.
And speaking of geology, Game of Thrones, the TV show, came to a conclusion last night. One mineral in it, a dragonglass, or as we people on Earth call it, obsidian, was a big part of the show. What do we know about what obsidian tells us about human prehistory?
Well, obsidian is a really cool thing to find at an archaeological site because the chemical compositions of this material can be traced back to their specific sources. So obsidian is actually, it really is a type of glass, and it's made from cooling lava. I like to think that that's why dragons got involved with Game of Thrones. But scientists can trace it back to their source. So if you find like an obsidian arrowhead or something like that, and you can source it to its original site, you can see where the people that had that obsidian arrowhead had traveled, or maybe you might learn that they had traded with another ancient group to get that arrowhead.
And finally, you wrote, Anna, about brewing. Now, we here in Wisconsin think we have some pretty old breweries, and we do, but you wrote about some archaeological research that takes New World brewing back, another 1,000 years or so. Tell us about the ancient brewery among the Huari in Peru.
Yeah, so some archaeologists have found this 1,000-year-old brewery that's pre-Incan. The Huari civilization was before the Incas. And they made this beer called a chicha, and they made it out of probably corn and definitely Peruvian pepper berries, which wasn't something I knew you could make a beer out of.
Me neither. what do we know about how they made it?
Yeah, so this really cool study came out where the archaeologists were able to look at residues that were on these ancient clay vessels, like the pots and kegs, modern-day equivalent of kegs. And they could use that residue to look at the chemical composition of the ancient beer, and they were able to figure out what the recipe actually was and recreate it.
And yeah, so they've actually made the pottery and then the brew itself, right?
Yes. They went through, this must have been a huge effort. They first made replica pottery, just like you said. They got an indigenous potter down in Chile who could make replica vessels. Some of them are on display at the Field Museum in Chicago. Then they actually brewed replica chicha down in Peru using the original ingredients that they've sourced locally. And then in Chicago, they teamed up with an actual brewery, Off Color Brewing in Chicago, to make a beer that tastes like the ancient chicha did that they had made in Peru.
That's pretty cool. But yeah. It was a wild ending for this archaeological brewery, right? After producing beer for decades and decades, how they shut it down.
Yeah, so the researchers said that the evidence at the site shows that this brewery had been shut down in like a big extravagant party, that it was burned to the ground, but intentionally. And the reason why they think that is because on top of the ashes are a bunch of smashed drinking vessels that are from all around. So it seems like not just Huari people, but people from like neighboring civilizations came to this festival. They burned down the brewery, smashed their mugs, covered it with soil and like put some ceremonial jewelry on top. So it looks like it was intentionally burned to the ground in one final bash after hundreds of years of running.
They knew how to party. Anna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Anna Groves, assistant editor at Discover Magazine. She joined us for a monthly check-in on some of the latest science news. You can find her pieces on that new food study and the 500-year-old brewery in Peru. Find that at WPR.org.